When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Oliver Condy, the editor of BBC Music Magazine, and welcome to the BBC Music Podcast. You can buy a copy of the magazine at your local newsagents or download our app to your iPad, Kindle Fire or Android tablet. And for the latest music news and more, head to our website at classical-music.com.
Hello, and welcome to our monthly cover CD podcast, in which we take a brief look at the works on the disc that accompanies the latest issue of BBC Music Magazine. I am Jeremy Pound, the magazine's deputy editor, and with me is our staff writer, Rosie Pentreath.
Hello.
Today we're listening to our January 2015 issue CD of Cello Suites by J.S. Bach, played by the great Mstislav Rostropovich. Of Bach's six suites for solo cello, our disc features number 2 in D minor, number 3 in C, and number 6 in D. We'll begin our listening with something of a flourish. Here's the opening of the courante of suite number 2. That was Mstislav Rostropovich, recorded live at the Edinburgh Festival in 1975, playing Bach's second cello suite. While Bach's six suites differ significantly in character and technical demands, all six of them are relatively similarly structured. Tell us a bit more about them in general, Rosie.
Yes, absolutely. So there are six suites that differ in character and sort of technique, like you said, but they're all based on these four essential genres of the time, dance genres. You've got the Allemande, the Courante, Sarabande and Gigue. And what Bach's done is added several different dances to each suite. So you've got a prelude for all of the suites, but the suites we have here, suites 2, 3 and 6, they also have, number 2 has an added minuet, number 3 has 2 barres, and number 6 has 2 gavottes.
Excellent. So that's 6 movements per suite in all. So in all 6 suites you have 36 movements in total, but on our disc you get 18 different movements. For our next excerpt, I think we're going to stay with suite number 2. Here's the beginning of the closing gigue. That was Mstislav Rostropovich in the closing gigue of Bach's cello suite number 2. One of the things we know most about Bach's cello suites is, ironically, just how little we do, in fact, know about them. As we point out in the sleeve notes that accompany this disc, it's not entirely certain when they were composed, for whom they were composed, or even for what exact type of instrument they were composed. Rather radically, it's even been suggested recently that they weren't even by Bach himself, but by his second wife, Anna Magdalena. Explain, Rosie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this theory about Anna comes from this lack of certainty. I mean, they've got a status as the finest single collection for the instrument, and yet, yeah, like you say, not much is known about the origin. There's general agreement about the rough date, so from about 1717 to 23, when Bach was in Cotton for Prince Leopold, and where he wrote Brandenburg concertos and lots of the instrumental concertos that we know and love. But yeah, the exact dates are not known. Basically, there are sort of two scores that people base the dates on, one from 1726, which isn't complete, and the other, which is complete, dates from 1730. Now, this one was completed by Bach's wife, Anna. That's where she comes in. But as you say, actually, some people have led some people to say, you know, if she completes them, maybe she wrote them. Martin Jarvis has written a book and recently made a documentary about this. It's quite controversial. He sort of suggests many things, basically basing on the fact that Anna was quite a well-trained musician, that you have this 1730 score that has her name on it. And he kind of had a niggling feeling, apparently, that, you know, it sounds like Bach, but not quite J.S. Bach, perhaps. And in the corner of the 1730 score, there's a little snippet of writing that apparently translates directly as written by Mrs. Bach, his wife.
Also, don't graphologists suggest, or haven't they suggested, albeit maybe a little bit tenuously, that the way that the music is written out suggests someone who was actually thinking as she was writing rather than just copying, I think, is that's the another the kind of the theorist they've got. But to be fair to Martin Jarvis and his team, they've not kind of suggested that theirs is definitely the definitive answer. They've added it as a suggestion rather than kind of a conclusion.
Absolutely, yeah. It's kind of the controversy and just this new idea around it, really.
Well, if it was indeed Anna Magdalena who wrote them, let's hear a little more of her handiwork. Here's the gorgeous Saraband from Suite No. 3 in C. There we go. Such is Bach's popularity today that we tend to imagine that his music has always been in the mainstream. However, it's not always the case. It is, in fact, largely thanks to a 20th century cello legend that we have the cello suites in the current repertoire. Isn't it, Rosie?
Yeah, that's Pablo Casals, who you're referring to. He's the one that we kind of attribute championing these works too. They didn't come to a fore with Mendelssohn's sort of championing of Bach in the 19th century. It was actually Casals who, you know, he found a second-hand copy of the score in Barcelona as a teenager, and he was just really taken with the music and, you know, dedicated years and years and years to getting to know it before recording them actually at the age of 60, and the first public performance was 12 years after the score. So you can see there's kind of a whole lifetime dedicated to these works, and that's, you know, that's mainly what got them so renowned.
It's a testimony as well to Casals' brilliance as a musician, not just as a technically brilliant player, but his ability to spot music, that he was so smitten with these works and that he wanted to champion them, and they have become so well known. And these days they're amongst his most popular works and have also proved hugely influential on other composers, not least in the recent times on Britain, for instance. Anyway, talking of cello legends, Mstislav Rostropovich, or Slava Rostropovich as he is regularly known, does not just appear on the cover CD of our January issue. He's also the subject of our main feature, as his former pupil, Elizabeth Wilson, takes a detailed look at his extraordinary life. And musicians too, such as cellist Misha Maisky and violinist Maxim Vengerov, remember how he shaped their own careers. But for now, as we wrap up this month's podcast, we're going to let the mighty Slava himself have the last say, with a gigue from Suite No. 6 in D. So it's goodbye from me, goodbye from Rosie.
Goodbye.
And take it away, Slava.
Thank you for listening to this BBC Music Magazine podcast, which was produced in our Bristol studio by Jack Fletcher. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at classical-music.com or simply head to iTunes.